Hey Doc, before today's episode, I have an important announcement for you. Have you been told that maybe if you can just cut down your spending, save more money, and pay off debt, then you will be able to have freedom? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's not the complete truth. Over the last couple of years, I've had the pleasure of learning from badass women physicians and women outside of the physician communities that are living a life of freedom. And what I've found is that how they live their life and how they think about money is so different than how most of us have been taught. Incorporating this stuff has literally changed my life and the women physicians that I have an honor of serving. So I would love to invite you to an upcoming webinar that I have coming up for you. I want to share with you 7 ways that women physicians that are living a life of financial freedom think differently than most. That way you can also incorporate some of this stuff and accelerate your own journey to freedom and wealth. Love you so much. Check out the link in the show notes, and I look forward to seeing you at the upcoming training. Enjoy this episode. Hi, Dots. I'm Dr. Latifah. I'm the host of the Money Fit MD podcast. This is where we help badass women physicians just like you learn simple and effective tools to build wealth from the inside out. That way, we can create wealth and bigger impact without all the burnout. Enjoy the episode. If you are a woman physician that's invested in a passive investment opportunity, especially over the last year or 2 years, this is an episode that you're going to enjoy. There's been so much that's been happening out in the space, and there is so much worry, concern, people losing money, and all that. How do we learn more? How do we learn differently? How do we make sure that we are not shooting ourselves in the foot? Guess what? You're going to love this episode. Welcome to the Money Fit MD podcast and show. I'm Dr. Latifah. I am the host of the show and the founder of the Money Fit MD Money School, which is a community for women physicians that want to know money, have money, and learn money. Women that want to create their own freedom so that they can spend their time the way that they choose. I am so excited about this episode, and it's been a long time coming. And the reason why is because I have gotten, you know, I have the privilege of coaching women physicians and getting into conversations that actually really matter, including how to grow your money. And you guys know that a lot of traditional financial education platforms and our cultural, honestly, financial miseducation system teaches women to focus on budgeting, even though I don't believe budgeting is how you earn money, investing is how. But then as busy women physicians, we know that not exchanging our time for money one-to-one is important. So many of you guys are investing passively, whether that's in the stock market, in businesses, in real estate, in startups, and all those other things. So then the question becomes, how do you sleep well at night after handing your money over to someone else, right? And when you think about it, if you're a part of our money school, you know, we have conversations about everything. There's literally nothing they cannot ask me. So they know a lot of things that you may not know about me by listening to the podcast. And part of that is that I actually am my husband and I are big active investors. We invest in active real estate and, you know, we own our own business. I have Soxy Doc, which is our personalized Sox line for women physicians. So if you want to check it out, SoxyDoc.com. But sometimes people are like, Latifah, are you a glutton for punishment? Someone literally asked me that. And I do think that I'm not. However, you know, there are different ways of investing, which could be active and passive. And we do passive through the stock market and very minimally through real estate. But there's no one size fits all for everybody. That's what we choose. And in fact, I do believe that most people are going to end up in active and passive for the most part, and it's just a question of like which one you want to start with. However, with a lot of things that's been going on with our economy lately, you know, with loss of jobs, whether you're a physician losing jobs, or whether you have a business that has been affected by the pandemic, or whether you're investing in real estate, which is a business as well. And even if you're active, maybe your tenants have not been paying rent as regularly because they lost your job or life is lifing. Or even maybe you're a passive investor and you're like, well, I thought that check was going to come every quarter. And now the people that are managing the money are like, well, we're going to hold on to the money just as a buffer in case something is going to happen in the future. And to be honest with you, like, I think there's so much sexifying of passive investment that has made people think that it's literally putting money into a vending machine and it spits back money out. It actually isn't that way. There are humans on the other side of that for the most part, and maybe they're working with AI and computer and robots and all that, but they're humans and human brains involved. They're humans that are paying, exchanging money at some level so that it now gets to you. And anytime there are humans involved in things, life can life, right? And honestly, I've had the privilege of being in conversations and inner, not publicized interview of people that are really, really successful with really solid multiple eight-figure financial net worth. And listening to the back end and like the behind the curtain conversation about what passive income can actually mean is something that I think that y'all would benefit from hearing. So, what do I mean by passive income? Some of you guys invest in the stock market. Maybe you invest in through your 401k and your Roth IRA or your taxable investment or REITs or whatever other vehicle you've chosen, but you've decided that you don't want to be the one on the other side making the decisions. You don't want to be the one that is being quote unquote waking up in the middle of the night to go fix the toilet leak, which is the biggest myth and biggest misconception about real estate. We've never gotten a call in the middle of the night about sink not working, even for the properties that we manage ourselves. But anyway, you've decided that you don't want to be that person. You've decided that you either choosing to not be that person or choosing that time that you have is better spent in the season on something else in a different capacity. And as a huge proponent of investing, I high five you for deciding that in this season of my life, this is how I want to invest my money. Or maybe you're even an active investor, but you're leveraging your relationships and your communities by diversifying and putting money in other people's hands. Again, you've decided that in this season, at this time, this is what I want to spend this money on. I give you major high five for deciding that. However, there are definitely things that we need to understand, right? Almost like pull up, like pull back the curtain a little bit of what happens in the background. So I will give you an example. One of our properties that we manage, and I think we do a pretty good job of managing, one of our tenants had to be removed because they made some decisions to destroy the property, like really, really bad, destroy the property, but also they decided that they were not going to pay. They were just like, I refuse to pay for no reason. Again, we're relatively good managers and I think we do a pretty good job. But if you're a property owner, you know that that's something that can happen. It's a risk you're taking. And it took months for us to resolve that. And during those months, you can imagine that the income from that building was decreased because it's now down one potential tenant. During that time and during the rehab to fix the damage, including the intentional water damage that was done in the property. I'm not going to go into the details about what actually happened, but the bottom line is, as the person that is in there, as the person that is in there, as the person that's made that decision to be the manager, I know what's going on. But then imagine our investors. If they're not privy to the day-to-day, maybe they're not going to the calls, they're not getting the updates, and they don't know what's happening, even though there's the many passive investors don't actually care about that micro detail, but they may not know what's going on to that level of detail. And now it's like, oh, but my check did not come, my money did not come because of a human reason in an economic world in a recession that we are in, right? Or maybe like we experienced during the pandemic, You may have estimated that the property was going to cost this amount to rehab. And then pandemic happened. Companies stopped shipping things from, China and other places that they were shipping it from. And now the available options for rehabbing, the price has gone crazy high. Maybe contractors decided that they were not going to work because maybe they didn't feel safe or didn't have the resources, or maybe they were having to homeschool their kids like many of us did, and they had to like hunker down. And so now to actually hire a contractor was maybe more expensive in your area. So the project that you estimated that would cost $20,000 now costs you $40,000, right? And now that affects the estimated return that you thought. So you can see how market and marketing factors can affect projections, right? And the reason why I say this is not so that you can say, well, I guess whatever happens, happens. No, it's I want to make sure that you're an informed passive investor. You're aware passive investor, and you can ask those questions about what's going on in the end, whatever, like what's going on the ground, so that you're not unaware. But he also points to the importance of not relying on that check coming in every month. And I think that's part of the deal where people think that passive income means that it's going to be guaranteed every single month, it's going to be guaranteed every single quarter, nothing can stand in between this coming. Like, you cannot even guarantee that you're going to be able to make it to work at 8 o'clock and not 8:02 tomorrow. Like, how is someone supposed to guarantee 100% that they're 100% sure, right? And now the question becomes, how can you as a passive investor do a diligent job of making sure that you're investing in the right vehicle and choosing and risk stratifying based on what's best for you, based on the risk that you want to tolerate? And I do understand that many times when people are investing, it's because you're trying to escape or run away from a circumstance. And that's why I always recommend not making decisions based on the fight or flight response, making sure that you're diversified, making sure that you're risk mitigating, and making sure that you're taking appropriate precautions to make sure that if that check doesn't come, you're not in trouble. And that's where emergency funds also exist. So, what can you do as a passive investor to risk mitigate? Number one is asking the question of, is this actually a good deal? And how do you know what's a good deal or not? It's knowing what numbers to look at. Like, what's the cash on cash return? Like, what are the numbers? Like, what's the cash flow gonna look like? Like, making yourself like, what's the NOI and what's the, other numbers that you need to know when it comes to passive investing? The options, whether it's a, building you're investing in, a storage facility, a car wash, a business, all that is going to affect what specific numbers you're looking at. So being informed is important. This is one of the reasons why inside of the money school, although we don't teach a specific passive income course, we have had people come in and educate our people to a place where they feel comfortable getting started in action taken. Because one of the main things that we focus on inside of the money school isn't like over analyzing or consuming. It's about taking actions that actually lead to results. It's action that increases your investment, actions that increases your money, that increases the freedom you have, and increases your net worth. But we have a module inside of the money school curriculum that we call the passive income series, where we've had multiple people that are I highly respect, that I know, like, and trust as much as you can trust another human being, come in and give us webinars and master classes. And if you're joining us, you are going to get access to that. Like, that knowledge and information is why many of our physicians invest more than they've ever done when they come into our program, and usually really quickly too. I've had physicians tell me within a week, within like 2 weeks of starting, I've felt comfortable investing. Like, literally, I mean, I just love seeing people transform from coming in wherever they're coming in from, whether they're new to money or seasoned with money. And literally within 3 months, they're investing so much more than they've ever done before. And remember, investing is how you grow your net worth. It's not by working harder or grinding harder. It's not by saving harder. It's not by budgeting harder. It's by investing more. You invest more efficiently, right? That's what I tell people. Invest, invest, invest. Invest with urgency and you harvest with patience. That's how it works. So number one is it a good deal? And making sure that you know what numbers to actually ask for, to look at in order to make sure and vet whether it's a good deal. Number two is what can go wrong? Most people that are investors will think about what can go right because that's a mindset that they have to have so that they can invest. But a good investor, a good active investor is also going to say what can go wrong, which is what's the worst case scenario here? And that's a question that if you don't have the answer to that question, you want to ask, what can go wrong? Like, how can this deal go wrong? Ask that question. Don't feel like you don't know enough to ask, just ask. And if it doesn't make sense, ask until it makes sense to you. The number three thing is, how can this be mitigated? How can we decrease the chances of things going wrong? And if something went wrong, what are the actions that will be taken in order to prevent that from making this a complete shit show, right? That's a question. I've had people that lost money, multiple five figures, six figures from a deal. And that can happen. I've literally, again, been in conversations with like multiple eight figure networkers. And one thing that's guaranteed is at some point you probably will lose money. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean that you cannot be trusted, but that's why you diversify. That's why you learn. That's why you risk mitigate. And that's how you diversify. Some people are going to say, well, I don't want to lose money, so I'm not going to invest. However, they're losing money by not investing. They're losing their quality of their time and their life and their relationships by not investing, by taking the slow approach and doing the equivalent of walking to New York. Instead of taking a plane to New York, you're like, well, good, something happened to the plane. Can my flight be canceled? Can there be a stop? Can I be delayed? Yes, those things can happen, but how do we mitigate for it? How can we mitigate? Like, what is the chance of the plane crashing? Like, it's low compared to like walking and driving, right? But making sure that you know the numbers, you understand, you go in with informed. That's what the word is, being an informed investor, right? Going in with your eyes open, you ask the questions. The other thing that I like to remind people is your relationships do matter. Like, I understand if you're like, how am I supposed to vet people if I'm just starting my own financial journey, or if I'm starting to invest newly in this department? And that's why relationships are so important. Like before I started investing, I didn't know anybody either. But now I literally invest money into being in community so I can learn people, I can observe people, I can watch them. And yes, no one can vet another human being 100% because I cannot even vet myself. I cannot even vet. True, I don't trust you. But y'all get what I mean. But it's so much better if someone has narrowed down the pool from 5 million people you can find on the www to maybe 10 people or 5 people, and then you get to choose by vetting them within that narrowed down pool. And that is how you increase the intimacy between you and your investment. That's how you shorten the time between your earning your income and you're actually putting the money to work for you. I hope that makes sense. The other question to ask yourself, and I think this is number four, sometimes I lose track of the numbers, is if I lost this money, would this be devastating? And this is a question that I asked someone that lost six figures. I said, well, if you're investing six figures in one deal, I'm sure you've asked yourself the question of how can this be devastating? And it was sad. It was, unfortunate. They grieved it for a few weeks. And then it was like, we're going to move on anyway. We're going to move forward because this is what happens, right? But again, diversifying, that's why it's important to diversify, not just diversify operators, but also diversify the class, diversify potential the city that you invested in. Those are the things that you can do to mitigate some of this risk. And asking yourself that question of, if I invested this amount of money and I lost it, how devastated would this be, or how devastating would it be? Yes, you may have to work an extra month to make up for that money. You may have to work 2 extra months to make up for the money. But if all you have to do is work for 2 additional months, it may be still worth investing. But those are questions that you can ask yourself. And then the last one is asking yourself, what's the best case scenario and what the worst case scenario if I invested in this? Because again, what you don't want is for you to create a story that prevents you from investing, right? Because that could be the mountain that stands between you and freedom. But lowering down that mountain a little bit by being honest, asking the right questions, leveraging your relationships, knowing what questions to ask, knowing what numbers to look for, asking what could go wrong, how can those be mitigated? And understanding as well that literally, guys, there's some things we can control, but there's some things we cannot control. And that is why your ability to stay grounded when it comes to money is not just about the numbers only, even as a passive investor. It is also about the psychology, the mindset behind it. It's okay to be sad if you lose money, but don't let that be the reason why you don't invest. And that's why your relationship with yourself is important. And guys, I've told you guys, the more I've worked on my relationship with myself, the easier it's been to invest, which means that the more my net worth has grown. And that's a gift you too can give yourself, regardless of whether you choose to be active this season or passive this season. I hope this has been of value. I love you guys so, so much. It's a pleasure being in your ears. If this has helped you, let me know by leaving a review and by also sharing this with other women physicians on your Facebook, on your Instagram. And yes, tag me so I can also share it and I can give you a high five and give you a shout out on one of my next episodes. Thank you so much for being a part of my world. I love you so much. And I hope this has added value to you. Talk to you soon.